There's so many things that I could say about Glenn Rochelle and Roberta Rochelle, but I want to give them as much time, give him as much time as possible. Glenn, as you can see in your bulletins, is the president of Gate Ministries, has been in ministry for a long time. He's a man that I've known since, I think it was the early 80s, wasn't it? He was a speaker at a family camp we had. Got to know him, was around him a little bit then, and through just circumstances, didn't see him much of him for a number of years. In 2005, when my father-in-law passed away, I called Glenn and asked him if he would be a friend to me and would be someone I could use as a resource. He readily agreed and was back in our lives, he and Roberta. They're the two most wonderful people we know, outside of you folks. He devotes himself more now, not to the pastorate as in a traditional sense, like he did for many years. He was the pastor of Metroplex Covenant Churches in Dallas one time. In fact, the four congregations, if I remember, that met quarterly together, amongst other things. But he's pursued a life, a ministry that God has given him for care and counsel and coaching. And he does that for in the spiritual realm and in the secular realm. He's on many boards, secular boards and Christian boards. He is a delight. When it says in his brochure that he does care, I want to give you one example of the care he's given Terry and I. When Terry had a surgery in Bakersfield, California, her excellent surgery, and they removed three of her discs and replaced them and put screws and rods in her back. When I told Glenn about that, I had had a bypass surgery earlier in the year, and he asked me, he said, well, how are you doing? And I said, fine. He said, well, how about the finance? I said, well, I'm trusting the Lord, which we were, and we knew the Lord would do it somehow, you know how. He said, may I have your permission to write a letter to some of our mutual friends around the country. In just days, he raised the money to meet our deductible, and it was high, insurance deductible, our plane flights, had a place for us to stay in Bakersfield. He adjusted his schedule in Roberta and flew out and spent several days with us. They were there the day Terry had surgery. They were there at the hospital until she went into the operating room. After that, Roberta went back to the room to rest, and Glenn spent 7 hours with me in the hospital. That's just one indication of what this couple does and what a blessing they are to us. He's involved in many things. He is well known in many parts of the country. But to Terry and I, he's just our friend. Pastor Glenn, would you come forward?
Thank you, Pastor Joe. If I didn't know myself better, I'd be impressed after all he said. I'm so glad to be here and glad to have my darling wife. We have been married for 55 years. I was telling Matt and Lauren that we enjoy our lives together. And she and I have four wonderful children who are grown and happily married. They've given us wonderful grandchildren, and they're all serving the Lord, and we're grateful for that. The Lord's been good to us. And thank you for letting us come and be with you. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to meet more of my siblings. I was born and raised in the southern plains of southeastern Colorado and Texas, in that part of the country. My wife, Roberta, was, she's a native, oh, my wife's telling me I'm not talking. Can you hear me now? My wife is a native of Alabama, and so we are Crimson Tide fans. You know, there was a, we met a couple at the airport in Seattle. We're flying back to Great Falls. They live here, as a matter of fact. Let's see, what was their name? Hugh and Darlene Watkins. They own farmland, and their six sons, I think, do the farming now. But he came up and he said, where are you folks from? And I said, well, we're from Nashville. He said, you're forgiven. But it's good to be here and good to be with you and good to be alive and good to be happy. What I hope to do this morning is to work together with you in the Word to assist you to become happier. And because it is in your faith that you stand firm. And that is best done when you are happy. I want to talk this morning about discerning our Lord in one another. Discerning our Lord in one another. I'm just going to reference two passages. The first one is in 1 Corinthians 6:17. And it says this, it's the first half of the second half of the verse. The person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I'll let you find it, then I'll say it again. The person, because I want it to sink in to your thoughts and in your heart about yourself. The person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen. I'm going to talk about that and elaborate on that. But there's a companion passage in my thoughts, and that's found in Matthew 18:20. And we've quoted it many times, probably most of you could. Jesus told the disciples, he said, where two or three of you are gathered as my followers or in my name, I am there among you.
Yeah.
Let me paraphrase that to explain more clearly what he was talking about. He was about to leave them. He said, whenever any two of you or more get together, look for me, I'm there. Whenever any two of you, husband, wife, brother, sister, whatever, where any two of you or more get together, I want you to look for me. And listen for me in your communication, because I'm there. Let me give you an analogy of that. Oh, spread your fingers apart. Don't slap the person next to you, but just run your fingers through the air. Now, you know what you're doing? You're running your fingers through water in a different form. There's hydrogen and oxygen in the air. And that's what comprises water in the proper proportions when there's a dew point. Mm-hmm.
That's the same with the Lord. He's here. Amen. You didn't feel the water. You may not feel him, but he's here. Amen. It's just important that you look for him and listen for him. Turn up your radar a little bit and you can find him.
Amen.
You can sense him.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to pray, and then we'll talk a little bit. By the way, when do we need to be finished? I don't want to do something wrong.
Thursday.
I'm ready to set my alarm so it'll tell me, shut up. It will just tell me, well, I mean, seriously, when do you want to... When do you want me to finish? Or you have other things maybe to do? How long do you want me to talk?
It would be... Is this light will fall when you ask that question? 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes.
Got it. I got it.
There's nothing I can say that won't get me in trouble.
Okay. This puppy's going to tell me to hush in 30 minutes. All right. If you'll turn on your Bibles. Because of God's choice of us, you didn't choose the Lord, he chose you. You didn't decide you were going to get to know the Lord. He decided he was going to call you, and you just happened to hear him and decided to respond. Jesus told the woman at the well, "Whosoever that drinks of this water that I shall give them," he has to decide if he's going to give the water before we can decide if we're going to drink it.
No.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's his initiative. Before you were born, he knew you. Before your parents were born, he knew you. And about all the tens of millions of possibilities of who was conceived, your parents were conceived. Same for you. Before your grandparents and all of your forebears were born, he chose you. See, I'm going to like that one right there. And I'm going to call him, and I'm going to call her. And somewhere in their life, they're going to hear or respond to something I say or do, and their heart is going to get drawn to me. And then we're going to get real close. He said, Paul said, whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I am one spirit with the Lord. Say that.
I am one spirit with the Lord.
Now in saying that, that means, we put it in the first person, when I speak, he's on my voice. We're one spirit. When I speak, he's on my voice. He's on my vocal cords. He's in my thoughts. Even when I'm thinking where I'm not supposed to be thinking. He's still there in my thoughts, letting me think and hearing what I'm thinking. Because I'm one spirit with him. It would shock us to realize how one he is with us. He's on my words when I speak, even if I'm not speaking of the Lord. He's on my words. So if there's somebody that's hungry and I happen to be talking to the same, this you could put this for yourself too. When I meet somebody and I'm talking to them, And they're hungry, but I may be talking about fishing or hunting. But there's something about the sound that's in my lungs that touches their heart. I don't know what it is about him, or I don't know what it's about her, but when she talks, I feel better. You don't have to be talking about the Lord to make somebody feel better.
Amen.
I mean, it's wonderful to talk about the Lord, but sometimes people don't want to hear that. You have to sneak up on them. When you speak, he's in the sound of your voice. But sometimes it may be only you and not him who speaks, but he's still in the sound that's there. So when two of you or three of you get together, look for it. Listen to it. That's how fellowship takes place, where there is the passing and exchanging of life that refreshes and washes and encourages and strengthens through the fellowship and the passing of words and spirits between individuals. We're one spirit with him.
Yes.
The more we discipline ourselves to look for him when we're together, listen for him when we're visiting. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Listen for the Lord. I was talking to, we came out to the Northwest on this trip because a few months ago, I have only one sibling left. There were eight of us kids. And he's 11 years older than I. And the Lord told me, go see your brother while you're still able to see him and talk to him. And he's up in years, and his mind is failing him a little bit here and there at times. And he said, go see him when you can. So that's why we made this trip. And we flew into Portland and drove 90 minutes south and visited with him. And I was talking to him, and I found out from his wife something in her past. She just opened up and shared with us. And we were sitting across the table at a restaurant when she told us, and she said, you're thinking about what to say. And I said, no, I'm thinking about how to say it. Because I wanted to, because it was a bad experience she went through when she was young. And I wanted to help her. But I was listening for the Lord as she spoke. Because the Lord was carrying things that I could discern on the tone of her voice. So that I could hear what he was telling me. And it was coming. His voice was coming through those words about that experience. Those words were coming from him to me through what she was saying. She didn't even know it, but I was listening. When we're together, we must look for the Lord in each other. And still thinking of us like we've known each other for so many years. If you grew up together in the community here or wherever, you don't want to know them after the flesh. Paul said, I know no man after their flesh. In other words, I don't see them as what they were in high school. I look for the Lord. I try to know them after the Spirit. I want to hear the Lord. And you could have fun and joke. You can play games, you can go fishing together, you can hunt, you can sew together, shop together, whatever you do. But discipline yourselves to listen for the Lord to speak to you through them. You may be discouraged and meet one of the other of you in the room here at the grocery or wherever, and they'll just say one word. If you're listening, it may lead to another,
And it's the Lord talking to you. Because if you look for him, he's there. He said, look for me. Look for me. Listen for me. I'm there. Whether you feel me or not, I'm there. In the congregation, leadership thrives more when we look for the Lord around us. It opens it up and it makes it easier for those who watch for your souls and encourage you to hear the Lord. I'm telling you, if everyone disciplined themselves to look and listen for the Lord when you're together, everything in your culture, your church culture, you have a culture here. This is a church culture that's formed by you and your personalities and your interactions together. And your culture would just become charged. Charged with life. I mean, the Lord would just invade your culture and your fellowship together. You see, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. I want to read two verses. Well, three, four. I want to focus on two verses. Second Corinthians 4, we'll begin with verse 7. Now you're going to start preaching. That dose is too warm. Verse 7. But we have this treasure. Listen to the word picture that Paul paints here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. You see, when you met the Lord, you were born from above. The new man in Christ Jesus was birthed. And this new creature inside you is spirit. It's the Lord growing in you. It is the treasure in this tent of clay, this earthen pot. Vessel. In this earthen vessel, it is the Lord pulsating alive in you. It's the treasure in the earthen vessel. Now, he said, this is so that the power of God, the power will be of God and not of ourselves. The vessel isn't worth anything apart from the grace of God. Amen. A friend of mine had some visiting ministers, my friend I'm talking about is a minister, and he had some visiting ministers from out of town, and one of them, he's gone over here for a little bit, he was a silver-tongued orator. He really was great with the words. And so my friend picked up his dad. His dad's first name was Vernon. And so Vernon was sitting in the front seat with Charles. And these other visiting ministers were in the back seat. Well, this one eloquent brother was sitting in the middle, and he kind of scooted up on the edge of his seat and was speaking to Vernon, the father, singing the praises of his son. And when he finally paused a little bit, the father said, yes, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, he'd be in hell today. But that's true. We don't deserve, we're not capable of anything lasting if God doesn't help us. Okay, let's look at verse 8. Because he's contrasting treasure and vessel.
He said, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Now, which is afflicted? The vessel or the treasure? The vessel. But which is never crushed?
The treasure.
We are perplexed, but not despairing. Which is perplexed? The vessel. The vessel is perplexed, but the treasure never despairs. Verse 9, the vessel becomes persecuted, but the treasure is never forsaken by God.
Yes.
The vessel is struck down, but the treasure is not destroyed. And the treasure only flows out best when the vessel gets broken. So that's what the hard times are for. To tenderize us, season us, and make us aware of how little use we are apart from Him. So that the glory, the excellency of the glory, will be of the power of God and not of ourselves. So when you're together, you're looking for the treasure in the vessel. You're not knowing them after the flesh, you're knowing them after the spirit, and you're listening for what comes out of the treasure. So you're looking past. It's like, you know what a single lens reflex camera is? Okay, a single lens reflex camera, you can see a beautiful red bird on a limb of a tree 100 yards away from a lens, but you're looking at it through a chain link fence. Now you can turn that lens one way and the bird disappears, it fades, and all you see is the chain link fence. If you turn it the other way, the bird comes into view and the chain link fence fades away. It's according to how you turn your lens when you're visiting with one another. If you're remembering the sorry attitude he had last week, you're looking at the fence. Turn the lens. You're looking for him, Lord. Turn the lens and look for what this beautiful creation of the Lord is there. We must always carry about in our bodies the death of our Lord Jesus so that the treasure can be manifested. We must listen for the mystery of the eternal word in one another. Listen for the mystery of the eternal word of God, the Lord Jesus, his voice. The Lord is untraceable. He doesn't have an agenda, but he has a purpose for you. I don't like to sit down with people that have an agenda. I can't have fun. I want to have fun with people. Remember I said I want to be helpers of your joy? When we get together, we want to encourage. We want to strengthen. My darling wife, she never meets anybody that's a stranger to her. She doesn't need the whole time. I'm like a few seconds. We could be in a store, walking down the aisle, and I can be talking to her, and I'll turn and she's not there. Because back up the aisle, she's visiting with somebody she just happened to speak to. One time, a year ago, I think, we went to the grocery. And about the same time, we ran into a mother and her 5-year-old son and the mother's mother. Now this is in This is in the South. And we have lots of great things in the South. This is an African-American family. And we kept passing them and smiling and nodding in the different aisles. And so at the head of one aisle, we had this list, and I looked on my phone what was next, and so and she had the list on hers too, and I said, I'm gonna go get this, and I'll just meet you at the end of this aisle. I have to put this over there out of the way. She said, okay. So I went and got it, and I came back to the end of the aisle, and here stood the mother of the 5-year-old. And she was looking up the aisle, and I walked up beside her, and there were my wife and her mother talking. She just doesn't meet them. And I just walked up beside her, and still looking at her. I didn't look at her. We were looking at them. And I said, you know, that's my wife, and she does this to me all the time. She says, my mother does the same thing. And about that time, we saw them high-fiving. We're supposed to look for the Lord. That grandmother had flown up from Florida because her grandbaby was about to go to kindergarten, and she was going to make sure he had all he needed. Well, they were grandmothers talking to each other. The Lord's ways are past finding out. They're untraceable. Parts of His purpose are being worked out in each one of us as we pass through the week. So many times when churches gather together on Sunday, they have been out, all the members have been out, like a dragnet being pulled through the sea of humanity, and sometimes they bring in new people because they're out looking and listening for the Lord to prompt them. Of the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God what that God would want, need to repay them? No. It's from Him and through Him and for Him that all things are. Amen. And it is to Him that the glory belongs. Amen. Look for the hidden things in each other. Some of you have known each other for years and you've never plumbed the depths of the treasure that's in the others. And I'm here for the Lord, asking you to discipline yourselves, to look for Him and listen for Him and watch how He transforms your discerning powers and your church culture.
Yes,
we must discern the Lord's image and His features in all forms of our deep expressions. He's just here. Now you see, I've been speaking for a lot of these many minutes, I don't know how many. But you know who I've been talking to? I mean, hopefully all of you, but I spoke long enough to engage the corporate personality of this church. And I've been talking to that personality. And all the members are receiving the nourishment that the Lord sends to you. Because we're members of one another and we belong to each other. Turn to the person next to you and say, I belong to you.
Now, if your husband and wife and father and daughter, I think you are sisters. You know what I'm talking about.
Romans 12, 3 through 8. I want to read to you Romans 12, beginning with verse 3. I have discovered a new, well, it's called a translation, but it's a paraphrase. The New Living Translation is what it is. It is so enjoyable to read. So it may not be the same words, but it has the same meaning. And besides all that, us old people, you know, we think, some of us are old enough, we think in King James, and we prophesy in King James. But this New Living Translation, it's for millennials and the youngers. Because of the privilege and authority of God, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other.
Yes.
In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. You know, the word picture in that word, says, God loves a cheerful giver. It's like the word picture is a happy drunk.
I'm not promoting drunkenness.
That kind of drunkenness is okay. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. But here's the key. Take the responsibility seriously. Don't take yourself seriously. I used to take myself too seriously. And I thought I was more important than I was. But I need to take the responsibility seriously, but not myself. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And my baby sure does know how to do that. We not only need each other, we're one body together. When we draw from each other, we feed on the Lord. And the only food that we can feast upon when we dine with Jesus
is himself. Okay, I'm going to see how long I've got. I'm about to think I should stop here. I got a minute and 12 seconds. I'm going to stop. As I continue to close, Father, bless your word to our hearts, yes, and glorify your name, and strengthen and encourage these souls, your children. Lift their spirits. Lift their vision higher than it's ever been before. Cause them to get excited about the prospects of the future together. Help them to get excited with practicing fellowship. Practicing watching for you, listening for you, discerning you in the words of the others. Give us all a conscientious heart to speak the things that gives grace to the hearer. Lord, our citizenship is in your kingdom. It is our primary citizenship. Help us to not be caught up in the rancor and the anger and the maliciousness that so tears away at the American society. And cause us to look unto you and to understand we are not like the earthlings. We are here sent by you to represent you and to alter the course of people's lives with grace. Bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name. Amen. Chardin, a French thinker, and I think he was a Jesuit priest, I'm not sure, but he said this one thing. We need to always remember this. He said, he was speaking to people or writing to people who were believers. He said, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Big difference. So when you walk into a restaurant, survey the earthlings that are there and see if there's any of them that the Father wants you to touch. God bless you.